So I won't get started this morning. I'm going to have to hurry if we're going to get through page one on this marriage enrichment series. And I even told Brother Larry this morning as I was reading, I was wondering why I was going so slow last week. I actually had left out a page from last week, so I got to put another page in there. I skipped a page. So I'm going to quickly summarize where we got to last week, and I'm going to say quickly, but I'm going to stop at the page that I missed. But this month is about, what's the song singing? Love can build a bridge. Love has built a bridge. Jesus built that bridge because God is love, and he sent Christ to build that bridge back to the Father. And it's a bridge that cannot be burnt down, cannot be destroyed by these hands. God said, what I put together, let not man put asunder. That's right. And he ain't changed his mind. Marriage is good. It's honorable before God. And he honors us in that marriage covenant. Quickly now, I'm going to go through. You have to get the CD if you want to get the full gist of this. But God's purpose for marriage is what this first series is about. We learned that men and women are different. Can I get a weak amen out there? We are different. How are we different? Men are, we're headlines people. Women, they are detail people. They've got to know everything. If, how, when, where, all that. That's okay. That's how God purposed a woman to be different. Marriage is a covenant relationship. It's not a contract that can be broken. I'm talking about between God now, because the hardness of our heart, Moses instituted divorce, but God always sees marriage as covenant. Till death do we part. Amen. It's a covenant relationship. It joins those strengths and weaknesses, those differences. It joins us together. Everything God made, he made with a purpose. When he instituted marriage, it was for a purpose. The purpose of this seminar is to understand the Word of God. My purpose in this marriage, my mate's purpose, so that we, there's unity there, can enter to and fulfill God's purpose for our marriage. And I also mentioned, if you're not married, you're not looking to get married, this seminar, this marriage enrichment, the month of February, is still, God's Word is alive. And it's here to minister to you, but also it can help you to go out and minister to others that may be thinking about marriage or are in marriage and has got some issues and need some help. We're in the ministries of help. Y'all know that, right? You become a Christian, we got something to do. It's to help each other. Help each other out. I need help. We need help. And we're going to help each other together. So that's the purpose of this seminar, is so that we can learn and understand how to fulfill God's purpose in our life and in our marriage. And just to remind you of this, men, looking at the men now, men, if we're going to live with a woman, there's some things we're going to need to know. Capital K-N-O-W. We're going to need to know something. I remind you of Hosea 4 and 6. We're familiar with this. God tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So you try to live with a woman, there's some things we need to know because we don't need to be destroyed, right? You understand that? That's why Hosea 4 and 6, you'll have some. When you understand Hosea 4 and 6 and what it means, so if we can learn from the seminar that men and women are different and we're supposed to be different, God made us that way, it will help us to accomplish a lot for the Lord. Because if we're always fighting against each other, we're fighting against God's plan in that marriage, and it's going to hinder us in His total purpose for us here on this earth. And remember, that purpose is for us to enjoy what He's created and given to us fully, to walk in the fullness of the blessing. And we're talking about perfection in marriage, but I said that word perfection doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes, right? That word we're shooting for perfection is maturity in this marriage and in this relationship, okay? So I put both hands up and surrender. I've messed up, made mistakes, said things I shouldn't have said out of the heat of emotions. See, that's where the Bible says, be swift to hear, but be slow to speak. Hosea 4 and 6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what it's there for. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy 11 and talking about God's purpose for marriage and for the marriage relationship. Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and let's go over to chapters 11. Remember now, we're in the old covenant. You know, love has a reward. Now, if you're in different situations, different areas in your life, if you've married, divorced, then you're married to Jesus. You're always married to Jesus regardless. Love Him, love has a reward. Amen? And He'll work all the other stuff out. Verses 21, let's read verses 18 through 21. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. Where? In your heart and in your soul. Where's your soul at? Somebody point to the head up here. This is where I think, my emotions. Where that's your soulless realm. Lay up the words in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand. You know, Dallas had some things written on his hand, some things he had to do for school. You know, I'm like, they don't look too good. But the Word of God says, write them on your hand if you need to remember them. Whatever you got to do, you do it to remember God's Word. So, and keep them before the frontlets of your eyes. So you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down. We could say 24/7. That's night and day. Think about it. Teach them. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children, see, it's not just about you. It's more blessed to give to your children. See, there's a bigger blessing when I do what God tells me to do. It's going to benefit somebody else, generationally, on down the line. That your days and your children's days may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of what? Of heaven on earth. Who would like to have days of heaven on earth? In your life and in your marriage. That's good. It's in the Word. And if it's there, we can have it. But we got something to do. God's love is unconditional, but His promises are conditional. He says, do this and you'll have this, right? Don't lose me there. Don't think I'm throwing the law on you. God loves us unconditionally. But He can, if we do something wrong, He can't bless that. Now, He can bless how we act upon that. If we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and flee from that, then we get right back underneath that blessing. He's always there to bless you, but He's not going to control us to do what's right. He's going to show us the right way. And we've got to make the choice to make it. And when we mess up, when we fall, what does the Bible say? Restore him. He who is spiritual, restore those that have fallen. Don't just let your friend that got you in a situation, a bad situation, be the one that helps you out of it. Because they're going to get you in a deeper ditch. I had another thing he said is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. What's your future looking like? It's whoever you're hanging around with, that's a key right there. The Bible talks about how that bad habits, they corrupt good manners. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't try to be deceived that you can't hang around with the wrong crowd and not start acting like them. But come to the rivers of living water and get washed. Amen? Amen? If you're getting that, get washed. Get cleansed and get on your journey. Fred Kirby said, get back on your horse. Amen? Y'all remember Fred Kirby? Yeah. Hallelujah. I made it to verse 21. Verse 21 is where we want to focus on this seminar. That our days may be as the days of heaven on the earth. I've got a little bit of experience. Me and Sherry are coming up on our 30th year of marriage. So we got some experience. Not all of those were serving the Lord. About 10 of them, minus 10, not having God's wisdom. But you know what? God doesn't look at where you are in the race. He just wants you to finish the race. See, it don't matter if you ran out of breath on the second or third lap and you're sitting over there on the bleachers. He's still with you. He wants you to get back in the race. Just don't quit. He said He has no pleasure of those that turn back. He don't want you to quit. He still loves you. But He knows the success He's put on the inside of you, and it doesn't please Him if we sit down and quit. Amen? And that's what the devil's his main job is to get you so beat down that you quit. Because if we quit on God, then his kingdom is advancing. And we're not a kingdom. Our kingdom's not going to be destroyed. Amen. Jesus is he's our captain of the host. We're going to follow him, right? So if we keep the commandments, we will be blessed. So your marriage, I skipped on down. This is God's will for our marriage, that our days be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Not only in our marriage, but we can experience this in every area of our life. Not just in a marriage. He wants our days to be as days of heaven on the earth. In your health, in your finances, every area. Now let's go read on over to verses 26 and 29. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey. Our children ought to know that. You either can have the belt or you can have daddy's blessing. You know, when we're young, we teach them correction. They don't understand, so we have to use a rod to enforce pain to let them, because it's love, to keep them out of the road where the cars go back and forth. They don't understand that semi-truck yet. It just stops. It can stop on a dime. But mom and daddy do. So we have to get the belt if they don't listen. But after they grow up, we're expecting them to operate in love now, or respect of their parents. When he's 18 years old, I don't have to get the belt out. He's going to suffer some consequences because he ought to know better, right? We ought to know better. That's what God's saying here. Verse 28, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you this day. This is what happens if you turn away from it. To go after other gods, little g, which you have not known. Verse 29, now it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And they not on the other side of the Jordan toward the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite of Gilgal beside the tariff trees of Moreth. So what we're saying here in verses 26 through 29, God says, I set before you life today, a blessing and a cursing, life and death. And he says, choose life. Choose the blessing. Now your marriage can either be blessed or it can be cursed. The blessing is tied to obedience in the Scripture. So if we keep the commandments, we will be blessed. Heaven on earth, as we enter, when we enter into God's purpose for our life, is what we're shooting for. The happiest people on earth are those who know what God wants them to do and are doing it. That's the happiest people. It ain't about having the best relationship with their mate or getting married to become happy. We talked about that. You're not going to get happy. You're not getting married to get happy. If you build a relationship with God and get married, happiness will come into that marriage, because your key is building a relationship with God. Happiness is a byproduct of that relationship. You know, my children love me. I love my children. But sometimes they're not happy with me when I correct them at that moment. But later on, sometimes then they come and they love you and they hug you. When they see maybe one of their friends do the same thing and they see the consequences that they didn't listen. And see, sometimes we don't understand. God don't want us to experience things. He wants us to hear things by his word and not have to experience it by hard knocks. Amen. Listen to your parents. So your marriage can be blessed or it can be cursed. And it comes by what? These words right here. What we say. Let's turn to the New Testament now. Let's go back over to the book of Romans. You know, Paul wrote Romans. He was not married, but he was married to Christ. And he had a revelation of the love of Christ that was given to him and showed to him. And he spoke about marriage. He spoke about it in Corinthians. But he had a key relationship with the Holy Spirit to know Jesus. Chapters 13. I'm going to read verses 8 through 9. Talking about love your neighbor. Love never fails. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. So see, Moses was given all these laws and commandments. And this is what will happen. Blessed you'll be or cursed you'll be. So you're like, I got to fulfill all these laws to have this God's love to work in my relationship, in my marriage. Well, remember, that was the old covenant. They had to observe to do that. But we're in a better covenant. But it's not an easier covenant, because it's not easy to love somebody who spits in your face. That's what they did to Jesus. But he wasn't moved by what he felt on the inside. He was moved by who he was on the inside. God is love. And he didn't spit back. He didn't cuss them, because he knew the power that was in his words. He knew the power in what he said and what he believed and what he said. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled Deuteronomy 28. That's Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the commandments. And guess who fulfilled that? Jesus. So all we got to do, once we become born again, and in a marriage covenant, it sure is good if both of them come into agreement, both believers getting married in God's covenant relationship, things are going to work a lot better than if you got one, and the Bible tells us about not to be unequally yoked together. But if you do, me and my wife were neither saved when we got married, but God still honored his word when he saved us, and then we found what true marriage and what true covenant relationship is and was intended to be. So God can work through any situation. And the Bible talks about, you know, there's the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Bear false witness. We shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the answer to fulfilling the law is to walk in love. And this is what we have to learn to do in our marriage. And if we walk in love in our marriage can be what? Deuteronomy. As the days of heaven on earth. Here's the battle we got to do. We've got to walk in love. We can't offend each other. Words that we say, if we don't get offended, we can speak a blessing into that situation. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities throughout the day to be offended. Am I right? Of what we say. I had an opportunity to get offended last night coming home from Winston-Salem about 10:30 at night. You got people passing you, where you got somebody that rides in the fast lane and they're blocking traffic. They just sit there. They don't go nowhere. They're just in the fast lane. So a car comes behind me. I'm over here in the slow lane, 70 mile an hour. You call that slow. But a car's coming by me pretty fast, and he's behind this guy, so he doesn't move. So he blinks his bright lights. Now move over so I can come on down the road. But this guy's persistent. That just made him angrier. And you get one of these gestures that comes out the window. You see a hand come out the window getting a gesture. I don't have to say what that gesture was. So here they go, about 5 miles down the road. They're not going anywhere. Well, here comes another car. Now, you know, they're starting to back up. So I'm sitting here praying, Lord, I told my wife, I finally hit my bright lights because I'm ready to come around now. And they finally just moved up a little bit. I said, when I hit my bright lights, I said, how long is pride going to sit in the driver's seat? Because that's what it is. It's just pride. Somebody's upset because they want to pass, but they don't think they're going fast. It's just pride. Take your pride and move to the side. Because the glory is coming by. The right, you know what I say? Just get the pride out the way. Don't get offended. I could have got offended there, but I didn't. But see, they're not obeying the law. I knew the law. I'm glad I didn't give them the law. I gave them grace. Amen. I didn't curse them. Didn't call them idiots. All these names we can throw out there. Because we got to watch. There's power in our words. What we say. So we're going to have opportunities. Speak a blessing. Let's look over to see some specifics of how we can do all this walking in love. This easy stuff that's easy to say, but hard to do sometimes, ain't it? It's easy for the pastor to say it, but then to go out here and do it, my. But what's impossible with men is what? It's possible with God. Where is God? Where is the kingdom of God? It's on the inside of you, and it's on the inside of me. So it's possible. Don't say I can't do it. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians, y'all probably know where I'm going. What chapter are we going to? 13. 1 Corinthians 13. How are we going to do this? Specifics of what love is. Jesus said this, what love is. I'm not saying this, but I am going to say it. But Jesus said it, so I've got to say it, right? This is what love. Chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind in that long suffering. I said it's kind. We get a long way if we just be kind to one another, right? Love is long, suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Not only does no, it thinks love, we're talking about God's kind of love, doesn't even think evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I'm going to say God never fails, because love never fails. And I'm not going to go on, but whether it be prophecies, whether they'll fail, whether it be tongues, they'll fail, they'll cease. But love never fails. Love is considerate of other person's feelings, property, and space. Three kind of areas right there that'll help us out. Love is considerate of one another, of that person's feelings, property, and space. I gotta have my space. I've got four kids, and we purchased that Suburban out there so they could have some more room going places. It still ain't enough room to chew in my space. Or who rushes to get to the front seat so they can have control of the volume on the radio? There's just not enough room. There's never enough space while we're here on this earth. That's why God created outer space. Look up into the star. You need some more space? Look up. You don't think God's given you enough? Look up. There's plenty of space for us to live with one another and be all right, okay? We're going past that Milky Way one day in the twinkling of an eye. We're out of here. We're going to pass the speed of light. God is light. Love is considerate of the other person's feelings, property, and space. To have a blessed marriage or to be blessed and to be a blessing, walking in love is going to be considerate of one another. Just considering one another. God's purpose for us is to enjoy that. It's just to be considered. If we'll keep that first, it'll help us. Now let's go back to see what God... Now that's God's purpose all in marriage. Now let's go back and see what God's purpose is for us. And I hit these a little bit last week, so the first couple I'm going to be a little... As I go through it, I'll be a little bit quicker. But let's go back to Genesis. If we need to find out God's main purpose, we need to go back to the beginning and see what the purpose was. And I mentioned some of this last week, but I'm going to hit it quickly here. Genesis 1. Verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God made man in his image, and that image is spirit. Remember, God doesn't have a body. And spirit has no gender. It's neither male nor female, you're neither Jew nor Greek. We're all one in the spirit. So God, when he created Adam, mankind equals male and female. When he created Adam, male and female were all in that one, you could think of it as a unit, one unit. And when God was ready to create the woman, her body, we read that he did not send off to heaven to get some more parts. He actually reached down into that Adam and took a rib from her side and made and fashioned Eve from that bone, from that rib. Let's read verse 28. Remember, God blessed them, saw that it was good, gave them authority. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over all the fish, over all the cattle, everything he gave. He said, now you rule and reign over them. Okay? So God blessed this first marriage, and he did it by speaking words, by saying. He blessed them saying. You know it's important what we say to each other, but also we have to choose to receive what's been spoken to us. God's blessing does not automatically come to us. We have to choose to receive it. You know, when somebody is I get tips on my job, and when they come, I have to choose. I can either receive it or reject it. You have the opportunity to receive that or reject that. Now, what happens if you reject when somebody's giving them? What happens to the other person? It's kind of like a rejection. It doesn't feel good. But, you know, certain situations, you know, certain jobs won't let you accept tips. So you have to, then you politely say, well, you know, I can't, we're not supposed to do this. And they can understand that. But when somebody is giving you something, you need to receive it in humility. Because you're going to help that person. They're trying to sow. They're trying to be a blessing. And it's going to help them in here and out here. Amen? Amen? But this is God's purpose for this marriage. And for his creation was to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion. Fruitful means to reproduce. And this takes male and female. No other options. To multiply, everything you do, God wants to multiply. He's not here to steal from you. He's here to multiply it back to you. Subdue and have dominion means we're supposed to rule and reign over what God's given us, respectfully, one another. Husbands, God did not create us to rule over our wives. He put us together to rule and reign together in life. And that rule and reign, we'll get into submission later on, but submission is the key to that. This is the purpose for marriage, and it's not to make us happy, it's to bring us in a relationship with God and bring him in and keep him in the center of that. So that's pretty much where we got to last week. So now we're going to start with the men. That was God's purpose for mankind and for the marriage, that it can be as days of heaven upon the earth. And remember, there was no sin, there was no corruption in this first marriage. They had everything they needed. And we're dealing in a fallen world now, but God hasn't changed, right? Amen. So that means his covenant hasn't changed, and his plans and purposes for marriage have not changed. So Adam's purpose, and I'm going to try to make room while I get some women in here too, but we might just make Adam's. Genesis 2, chapter 15, actually amplification of chapter 1 in Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 15, let's read it. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. That word, that tend in there, does somebody have a different word for that in their Bible?
Cultivate.
Anybody got anything else? I think dress might be in there too. To dress it and to keep it. So that word dress in the Hebrew means to work, toil, till, plow. Michelle said cultivate, to fatigue. Man, God said to work. I got to work. Work is a good, it's not a bad, it's not an ugly four-letter word. Work is a good four-letter word. God said work is good. You feel better. You build muscle. You sweat. Your body functions better when we're doing something. Cultivate means to make better than what it was. God gave something perfected, but then he said, Adam, make it better than what it is. See, he gave a part of God he put into Adam. And that's a part of us. We always want to take something, men, and we want to make it better than what it was. What was your first car like? I had a 1967 GTO. It didn't look too good, but I had a vision of it being candy apple red, having a nice radio in it. Blaring. Boom, 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 boom. So see, I started cultivating. See, men, we do that. We cultivate. We make it better than what it was. I made it to the candy apple red. I got a pretty good radio in it. There were some things I didn't have. Terry will know this. I had one broke motor mount. and a 305, I think is what that was, four-speed, 326 months, four-speed Muncie. So every time I'd hit that gas, my gear shift would go to the, so I'm trying to go from first, really second to third was the hard one. I could hit the first to second down. But if I'd hit that thing hard and go from second to third, my engine's jumping, my gear shift is moving. So after a while, you could get it. Now, Sherry, she couldn't drive my GTO pretty good like I could. But I could catch me a second and catch me a third. But you had to know how that motor was going to jump and how it was going to move. But see, men, we like to take something and make it better than what it was. That's cultivate. Likewise, men, we are to make our wives better than when we got her. So men, if you're not happy with what you got, cultivate it. You got a purpose to make it better than what she was when you got her. Amen? And that's going to take a lot of work. A lot of work. A lot of sanding. A lot of polishing. This also applies to children, men. And I'm both hands up. It's the husband's job to train up the kids in the family. I've been a little bit weak in that, but men, we're supposed to train our kids. And a train, we have one that passes by here every so often. Daddy's supposed to be in the front. He's the engine. And everybody else is supposed to be behind him, following right along. If Daddy goes off track, guess what? Where's the family going? Remember, he's the head. God sees the man as the head. So we're to train our children. And that takes a lot of work, men. Amen, amen, and another amen. A lot of work. Continuous process, and this is a part of the purpose. Take a deep breath now and breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. So work's not a bad four-letter word. It's not part of the curse. God gave Adam something to do and to have pleasure in doing it. So men, if you're married, you got kids, these are God's, that's his purpose, is to bring godly seed into the earth and continue on that purpose and journey. So work is a purpose from God. But remember, guys and ladies, your job is not your purpose. Work is your purpose, and you got to figure out where that job fits in with training the kids, taking them to church, teaching them in school, all these different things. So you get, then now you got to start putting things in priority, prioritizing, and God's at the top of the chain. There ain't no other above him, and he is God. He is Jehovah. Self-sufficient. He doesn't need our help on anything, but we need his help. Now, I did say God has a weakness. Y'all remember what that weakness was? He does have a weakness in his covenant. He doesn't have a body. He's a spirit. So he needs us to get his will accomplished here on the earth, because he does it by speaking words here on the earth. He gave us authority over this earth. And we need to be speaking what he says, saying what he says. And we got to keep all these things in balance. Putting things in priority. That Hebrew word, that was the word for dress. The Hebrew word to keep, to dress it and to keep it, is the word, I didn't give you the Hebrew word, I wasn't going to try to pronounce them, but it means to guard and to keep it safe. Protection. God is looking at the men to protect. I believe if God told Abraham to guard and keep the garden and his wife Eve safe, then God knew something was coming. He knew the enemy was planning an attack. And God always wants us to be prepared. He said something for a purpose. He said, keep it, dress it, and keep it safe. Guard it, Adam. And never should that strength, in other words, the man, we're here to protect, and we're here to protect our families, our wives, our children. And we're even built different. Look at men and women. We're different, right? We're built different. Some of us have big muscles. Some of us have more hair, less hair. That has nothing to do with it. Right? Has nothing to do with it. But we're made different. And never has God made the man to be stronger for that to be used against his wife, to beat her and to hurt her, or to beat or abuse those children. He has never given that man strength to abuse his family or his wife. And if you're in that situation or been in that situation, you shouldn't be there. Because that's not the way Jesus treats the church. And that's not a way a husband should treat his wife. We're supposed to keep that. Keep our wives and keep her and protect her and keep her safe. Verses 16, 17 in Genesis. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you shall surely die. We read that God told Adam what to eat and what not to eat. Still the same thing. You won't be blessed, you won't be cursed. What are we hearing? What are we saying? See, this is food right here that we're hearing today. We need to take it in, we need to eat the good stuff. All this is good. It's here for our examples. And then we need to be listening to what we're saying. We need to be saying what the Word of God is saying, so we can have the fruit of that blessing in our lives. I'm going to end with this little jingle. I think this, I'm not sure if I can do it as good as my Pastor Jim did, but I love this little jingle. Remember, we know what happened later after they ate of it. But who was right there standing beside his wife? We were. I say we now because we are mankind. We came from Adam, right? So Adam's not just, we're not throwing all the guilt on Adam. Eve ate the fruit, but Adam did not. We did not stop her. Men, we're responsible for keeping the devil out of our house. I said, men, we're responsible for keeping the devil out of our house and out of our lives. We are the protector of that home. Eve should have called to her husband when the snake showed up and said, hey, honey, bring the hoe. There's a snake in the garden. You need to get rid of the snake. That's what Eve should have said. But guess what, guys? She didn't, and we got the bum rap for it. When God says, who does he hold accountable? The head of the house? Who does, if your football team ain't winning, they're having a bad season, and they go to fire somebody, are they going to fire the running back, the quarterback? They're going to the coach. They're going to the head coach. So God, man, when things ain't going right in the family, he's going to come talk to you. If you don't do anything about it, then he's going to go talk to your wife. And we don't want God to go there. We don't want him to go to option two. We need to take care of it because we don't want mama getting upset because daddy ain't doing something right. So I'm going to end with this little song. And there's no music to it, so you're just going to have to bear with me. This is about Adam and Eve. So the Lord decided to make a man. So he took a little water and he took a little sand. He took a rib from Adam's side and made Miss Eve to be his bride. He put them in a garden fair. He thought they'd be most happy there. Apples, peaches, pears, and such, of this one tree you must not touch. But around that old tree old Satan slunk, and at Miss Eve his eye he wunk. Come on, Eve, try this kind. Said, come on, Eve, the Lord won't mind. So she took a pick and she took a pull, and then she filled her apron full. And the next day when the Lord came round, he spied those cores all around. He said, Adam, who's these cores did leave? He said, wasn't me, Lord, must been Eve. He said, Adam, you must leave this place and earn your bread by the sweat of your face. And that's all they is, they ain't no more. Eve got the apple, but Adam got the core. In a nutshell, man, we got the bum deal. Amen? So this is going to be continued the next week, and we're going to get into the woman's purpose of this marriage seminar. God has a sense of humor, right? I've told you, just look at me. God has a sense of humor. But he is really, God is love. And through this month, it's all focused on love. Just dedicating it to him. Because God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us each other, men and women. He gave us Jesus, who is the greatest expression of love the world has ever known, but then some still choose to not know him. They truly don't know what love really is. Amen? Because the Bible says, taste of the Lord to see that he is good. He is good. And his mercy endures forever. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Father, for giving me the ability, Lord, to minister your grace and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that words we've heard today, Lord, is going to impact our lives, our future. That, Lord, we are a people that are purposed to do your will according to your plan and purposes. So, Father, I just pray right now we just submit ourselves to you, spirit, soul, and body. that we're able to leave this place better than when we came in, because, Lord, you have made us, men especially, to cultivate each other, to take what you give us and to make it better. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the husbands that are hearing this, your word about being the head of the house and over the marriage and the family, Lord, that you have a special anointing upon the man to help us to hear your plan, your divine plan for each one of us, and go out and help us to accomplish that in your grace. And Father, we just thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for your endowment, your empowerment, your grace and ability from the Lord Jesus Christ to show us and to reveal each and every one of our specific purposes and plans for your life that you have given us here on this earth. Not just in marriage, but in every area of our life, Father. And I bind the power of the devil right now that negative words are spoken over anybody, any relationship in your life. I cast those words down to the ground right now in the name of Jesus. I call them void, null. They will not affect you in Jesus' name. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That you are blessed. God says you're blessed. He knew you before you were even formed or fashioned in your mother's womb. He knew you, and he has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And that plan is to prosper, to rule and reign with him, with Christ, and in every area to have victory, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, we receive that by faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.